new version of OS X is out called Mavericks. And with it, a lot of updates, new versions of apps. So the Apple makes a variety of different apps for its platform, and iOS and Mac OS have both seen upgrades of the apps that used to make up what they used to call the iLife suite, the GarageBand, iPhoto, and iMovie. They all have new versions. iPhoto says it's 64-bit now in the update notes, but the visual look of it doesn't seem to have changed much recently. So it's still the same basic interface with the left tab sidebar. The icons have gone grayscale for a while now. And, you know, I guess it is supposed to be able to take advantage of modern systems and, you know, use the 64-bit architecture. I'm going to have to try it a little more. It looks they updated the digital RAW library and all that, too. So the photography software is, you know, possibly going to be updated on the professional end in the next few months. So there's some rumors that Aperture 4 will come out. I don't know if that's true or not, though. In the iLife suite, iMovie is, it does look a lot different. And there, it's gone more in the kind of grayscale, kind of muted color direction that has also been true about recent versions of Photoshop by Adobe. Well, GarageBand has a new look, and GarageBand is really different now. There's been some discussion in the podcasting community that they took out support for recording podcasts. Now, I guess technically that's true, but it's still possible to use the basic recording setting, the default, to record audio for a podcast. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm actually trying the new version of GarageBand, and I'm using it on Mavericks. So that's my MacBook Pro laptop that's doing the recording. And my iMac is still on Mountain Lion. I think I'm going to update it soon, but I am still kind of assessing the new version of GarageBand. And now I think I might leave GarageBand 6, the previous version, installed on my iMac for a while. It seems to work on Mavericks, so I don't have to keep my computer in Mountain Lion, but I don't think I'm going to download the new version on that for a while. But I do like some of the visual changes on the new GarageBand, just looking at it, you know, and just using it for a few days, just on and off, so a total of maybe, you know, an hour or two. And I'm taking a look at it right now, recording, you know, onto it, and they're calling it version 10, you know, so it's 10.0.0 that I'm recording on right now. So I guess they feel like they've made an update. They had a major redesign of Final Cut Pro in the last few years, and then they changed Aperture a bit, but grayscale and stuff, icons, but they haven't come out with a fundamental new version in like 3 or 4 years. So yeah, GarageBand is now it's able to support the legacy audio loops, at least to some extent. It has a folder when you're looking at the library browsing screen. You know, that's on the left now instead of the right, so that UI has changed. And the overall look of the tracks is different, because now, like, as I see this recording go on, I'm looking at a red bar, and the red bar indicates that I'm, you know, I'm recording live to mic right now, and it's only one frequency pattern, you know, wave pattern, that is animated as you speak or record. So it gives you an idea, I guess, about your levels. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't show two channels like it did in GarageBand 6. At least this is, you know, the default view. I don't know if it can be changed. But so what it makes me think after, you know, using GarageBand 6 for a few years is that the recording is being done in mono, because that used to be the way it would look if it was mono. But it looks like now it actually does default to stereo recording. It didn't do that previously. Like, you know, so that's kind of cool. I haven't really used the built-in synths, but I will say that when you log into GarageBand desktop, you know, GarageBand 10, the first screen is a lot more like Logic Pro, where it kind of has these environments for the type of music that you want to record. So whether it's rock or electronic, different types of categories, it sets up different types of audio tracks and synths and things like that for, you know, optimized for that type of recording. You know, kind of suggestions. You can swap out the, you know, the virtual instruments and do all different stuff with the, you know, recordings and MIDI files. But it gives you a starting point. And that's the way Logic Pro has been for a while. And whereas GarageBand would just be based on, you would select it based on a single instrument. So you would either select recording as a podcast or recording piano, guitar, whatever. It's a little more like, you know, providing a recording environment for, you know, a certain type of song, not just for, you know, not just for a certain type of instrument. And the metronome, fortunately, can be neutralized. It has a button that actually shows up on the UI, because that was an old gotcha with the with GarageBand 6, was that the metronome might be counting out as you start recording. Well, there's a new version of GarageBand for iOS, and it does look kind of cool, but I haven't used it as much as I've checked out GarageBand desktop even, which hasn't been that much. And I will say, though, it is cool that they say that you can go up to 16 tracks now, and it looks like it should be easier to send files back and forth, whereas it used to be one way, where you could start something in GarageBand iOS, but then pass it to the desktop, but it was hard to get something with the desktop complexity back down into iOS previously. And it also, you know, a lot of people have been using AudioBus. It's a cool app for sharing audio in iOS devices, and one of the features that's in GarageBand allows audio from other apps. So that's something that is kind of cool. I haven't looked at all the different apps that are supported for that, but I noticed that DJ2, the the virtual DJing app, is supported. It's pretty cool.
So that's Maverick. Fantastic release. It extends your battery life, gets more out of your memory, accelerates your graphics, has great features across the system, and some really fun new apps. But you know, for those
who work on
Mavericks, what's most important to us is seeing the software in the hands of as many Mac users as possible. We want to get them all the latest technologies, the most innovative features, and the kind of robust security that's only possible through deep infrastructural enhancements.
For the last
several years, we've been on a mission. We've re-engineered our development process so we can put out regular major releases that renew your Mac all the time.
We reinvented
the way we distribute OS X. So now upgrading your OS is as easy as downloading an app from the Mac App Store. But today, we're going to revolutionize pricing. Because the days of spending hundreds of dollars to get the most out of your computer are gone. Today, we announce a new era for the Mac. Because today, we're announcing that Mavericks is free. Free is good.
That's amazing.
So we're doing free in not a small way. Whether you have our latest release, Mountain Lion, or even if you never upgraded and you're still running Lion, or if you're a complete laggard and you're still back on Snow Leopard, single-step update, you can get to Mavericks. And we wanted this to run on as many Macs as possible. So whether you have a Mac Mini introduced in 2009 or even an iMac introduced way back in 2007, you're entitled to Mavericks. And again, it's available for free. And the best part, it's available today.
Of course.
Thank you very much. I'd like to hand it over now to Phil.
Please deliver to the large cardboard box behind the rehab center if you ever want to see him again.
Because I read all the other stories and I was like, oh.
Have you read 50 Shades of Grey?
Yes.
And what is this like?
No way.
This has a little bit more to it?
It does.
It does?
A huge amount more.
Hmm. Interesting. I think it's going to do very well. Your previous book did very well as well. Can I ask you this? How did you first get into the adult film business? What did you do?
I was very young.
How old were you?
19.
Did somebody, did you want to do it? Did somebody push you into it?
No. I just figured it would be fun. I understand.
Why was it?
It was fun.
Did you see that?
Say what?
Well, there was one of the clips, not that last one, was a Apple presentation, and they're talking about the price of the OS X update being free. And I do think that does matter. People know that Apple's a hardware company. That's their main product. And the software, although it takes a lot of research and development and a lot of coding and a lot of investment to make and maintain an OS, the product that Apple sells is the hardware, and they sell the idea of the close pairing between hardware and software, because they're the same company that makes both. So it's actually, their software is a very valuable product. A lot of people that use it, wouldn't want to use anything else, or certainly wouldn't want to use Windows. And it's because there are a lot of characteristics of OS X that people like. Now, that you can't get to a bash shell. There is the famous, Unix underpinnings that, as far as I read it, what they call the Darwin kernel is sort of a combination of the mock microkernel from Carnegie Mellon and the BSD, maybe the FreeBSD, one of those kernels. I don't know. Anyway, they have a lot of, you know, components that they use from open source projects in different parts of the OS. They used to use the GNU C compiler, and now they use one that they have more influence over. So, you know, these things evolve. What's happened, though, in OS X overall is, I think, is pretty good progress. And there's questioning now. John Siracusa writes the review of OS X for Ars Technica. Now, I was going to say every year, but that's just a recent trend. But now they have a new version of the OS every year is their, you know, planned schedule. So right on top of iOS 7, you know, OS 10 is updated. And, you know, besides mattering in a business way about how they're giving it away for free, I mean, that's just a way to keep their systems updated and to get the, you know, I mean, it's really a customer satisfaction thing. You're going to have, if you're doing a good job updating the operating system, you're going to have more satisfied customers if more of them use the OS that's the latest version. And that's going to happen, you know, most if you give it away for free, more than it would be at any price point. So if you can afford to do that, you know, I think it's a good move. You're listening to the PacificPelican.us/64 podcast with me, Dan McKeown. This is episode number 112 and being recorded October 28th, 2013. If you want to see the show notes, just go to the website and you'll be able to find the show notes just by looking for the podcast number. And then I give the podcast titles usually too, but it's usually based on something that's said or close to something that's said during the podcast. But it's usually when I go back and finalize, you know, and output the podcast as an MP3 that I pick what was said, you know. Because sometimes I actually have to edit the thing a bit. Apple loops now include the sound cat purring on the new GarageBand. And, you know, the new OS, there's a real emphasis in Mavericks on power saving and using a feature that they, I think they call AppNap or something like that, to shut down apps or parts of apps that aren't being used, aren't useful to the user at the moment. So a lot of people have web browser window opens, a lot of tabs or windows, and there can be flash ads or all sorts of stuff running in the background. There can be apps that haven't been used in a while that are using resources. So OS X Mavericks really tries to shut down the CPU as soon as it can get its work done. And it may extend battery life. So there's testing going on, and there's some early indications that it might give a little extra battery life to certain laptops. And, you know, there's also tagging as a feature in the Finder. Now, the Finder is the, you know, access to the file system, basically, that the Mac system, you know, includes with it. And now, when you save a file, you can add tags. And it's kind of bolted into the old labels system, but it allows, you know, user interaction with tags right next to file names. And then, you know, it allows another kind of organizational scheme for people who want to keep track, you know, of their files using tags, because they're all over the web now. So, you know, Apple offers them in the OS now. Well, it's a new day. Well, it's a new day that I'm recording on. It's now October 29th, 2013. And you're listening to the PacificPelican.us/64 podcast. I've been following the news about the upcoming gaming platform releases. Sony has the PS4 coming out, and Microsoft has a new version of the Xbox that they're calling the Xbox One. And I think the PS4 did a pretty good job with the PR. In an earlier show, I should look up which number. I played some clips from some of the publicity events and interviews that were going on at the time, and Sony was capitalizing on Microsoft saying that their new Xbox was going to require a persistent or an internet connection every 24 hours or something like that. And then Microsoft backtracked on that, but in doing so, they actually changed and eliminated some features that they had been promising. So they got a certain hardcore group of their own gamers upset about that reversal. So overall, they had some struggles with that. But Sony had some questions they were asking themselves while they were designing it about the placement of the buttons and analog sticks on the controller. Now, Sony has changed their... Well, they're usually called DualShock controllers. They've changed them slightly in evolutionary ways over the years, from the original PlayStation to the PS2 to the PS3. Now, the announced first party controller for PS4 still looks a bit like the classic. It does have a different kind of shape. It maybe looks a little more like aerodynamic or bat-shaped or something, but it still has the analog controller in the same position on the left as well as on the right. And apparently, according to an article on IGN.com, the controller might have been placed where the buttons that are, I think, usually referred to as the D-pad is on the PS3 version, but it didn't happen. I'm glad that they kept the buttons in the same positions for the PS4, because I think that's a good setup for the games I like to play. Now, they mention in this article that people that are really into first-person shooters, shooting games, want the analog stick in a different position, the way that the Xbox controller is further up on the left. But there's the weight of inertia of the current system. And there's a certain amount of popularity to that. I don't really play much in the way of shooters. So I think, and I've heard people complain about racing games too. I actually think it's fine for racing games. But there's a difference of opinion on that. But in terms of sports games and other games, like, I think that the position is great. I think that the PlayStation controller is the ultimate sports controller for console. But, you know, I mean, either way, I'm glad that nothing's changed in that area.
This is another film about a city. Now you won't see the usual palm trees and sandy beaches, or awesome snowy mountain peaks, or tall ships in a busy harbor. You know, all those things you might see on vacation. You just won't see them. No, this film's about living in a city that's smack dab in the middle of the state of Ohio. It's small town USA. Yeah, right.
And by the way,
shut the hell up. No. You pick me up, slow me down, keep me happy all around the home. Who the hell is that?
Columbus is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. There's a wide range of housing environments, from suburbia to classy high-rise condos. Even though we're a big city, our outer belt and freeway system makes traveling easy. Not more than 20 minutes from one end of town to the other.
Well,
so we have a rush hour. It's really easy, though, compared to a lot of places. There's Honda of America, the Limited, CompuServe, Wendy's, and of course AEP, Lane Ride, and Borden that are lights right out of the Big Apple. And there's room for many more in existing buildings and land yet to be developed.
Because of fine hotels and
convention facilities, Columbus is one of the most popular convention destinations in the country for those who want real value and impact.
State
Center, a fabulous three-tiered mall, houses Marshall Fields, Lazarus, Jacobson's, Abercrombie & Fitch, Henry Bendel, top-notch stores and specialty shops. That's right. For those of us who work for a living, there's no place we'd rather be.
I don't think.
Columbus is a real sports town. A golf town, a football town, a basketball town.
Whatever.
And even a baseball town. The New York Yankees top farm team has its home here. And speaking of farms, we have the largest state fair in the world. Columbus, you really know how to shine. By the way, the lifestyles in Columbus have gotten a lot of ink. USA Today calls us the new big city on the block.
Can't
and there
wait.
Are many other articles about where we've been and where we're going.
What I really like about you.
Why?
You're my kind of town.
Big leap.
If it works or not. It's all about power. It's all about fundamentally changing this nation. It's all about taking from some people and giving to others. While Washington gets its cut.
That's what makes America great.
And you and I, we're supposed to be quiet. Well, the Chamber of Commerce doesn't see a problem, you know. They're all set. Well, all you Tea Party radicals.
Yes.
Chamber of Commerce can go to hell. What the hell has the Chamber of Commerce ever done for we the people? It supports amnesty, it supported the stimulus, supports breaking through the debt ceiling. The hell cares what the Chamber of Commerce wants? I'm not a member, are you a member? No. It's a lobby organization. I understand somebody called Rush's show and said that I don't like big business and I don't like executives who make a lot of money. That's not true.
Shut the hell up.
I don't care if business is big, super big, medium, small, really small. I don't care how much money executives earn. They can earn as much as they want.
No.
What I reject is corporatists and their crony capitalism. That's what I reject. That's not free market capitalism.
Okay, if you
That's
are
you
an
and me subsidizing
you need
some people.
Pizza.
or some person, and then profiting from us by using the power of government to take what belongs to you and me and give it to them.
Can't wait.
That's not what Adam Smith meant. That's not what Milton Friedman meant. That's not what Hayek and Mises and all the greats meant.
You take that back.
That is unacceptable to me.
Well, you've got one heck of a nerve.
Unfortunately, the United States Chamber of Commerce represents a lot of those people and entities. Not all of them, but too many of them.
So when Tom Donahue, you know what it might be?
I never heard of him before either. He heads the Chamber of Commerce. Essentially tells Ted Cruz to shut up. I say to Tom Donahue, you shut the hell up. Why don't you stand for election?
I've got the strangest feeling someone's going to kick his ass.
You don't represent me any more than Trumka, the AFL-CIO, represents me.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself?
That's a clip from right-wing jerk Mark Levin. And the podcast where the gaming platforms were discussed recently was DJMCloud.com podcast number 93.
Because NBC has chosen its path. Instead of enlightening and lifting up, they have chosen the path of darkness by saying all of the racial stuff that they have said, by embracing the squashing of the human spirit. Instead of saying, look, we can all disagree on things. We can all get along.
Ass.
But we all have to be more charitable in our own individual lives. There is another path. Instead, they have chosen the authoritarian way. And the authoritarian way, I am telling you right now, you believe in Satan, you don't believe in Satan, I don't care. If you want to make your Satan Stalin,
I see the soul of this man.
Mussolini or Hitler, fine, that's your Satan. Or do you believe there's a greater force of darkness out there
that
helps create those people? That those people embrace Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky dedicated his book to the first rebel that at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer.
It's a joke.
So don't tell me
you
don't believe in Satan.
You know what
your God on earth, Saul Alinsky, believed in him.
Pretty soon we're just all
going to
be in FEMA camps.
Big week.
And I have to tell you, you know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because...
Oh, come on, this is bullshit.
Because it is making all of us subservient to the government. And...
No...
Once again, I've been targeted by YouTube, and again, they say you can appeal the decision, however, they leave you no route to appeal. They send all these links that you can follow, and then when you get to the point where you're supposed to click the appeal the decision, that tab just miraculously isn't there. Shocking. But what I find most offensive here is, the videos that they're deleting off my channel and claiming they're offensive or inappropriate. And it just goes to show where YouTube's morals or lack thereof lie. They were moved. One of them was, if chemtrails don't exist, why do NASA employees call them chemtrails?